Parak Dalet Pasuk Yudbeis. So we spoke about the bracha. They blessed Ruth that she should be like Rachel and Leah. Ruth had something in common with Rachel and Leah, that Rachel and Leah came from unpure origins, and so did Ruth. Rachel and Leah had tzaddikim, and so did Ruth. Pasuk Yudbeis. The bracha continues.
She changed her name.
Right, she changed her name twice. We said that was her gerus. She had two geruses. Basically, that's how we're answering all the sources that we had. The Rus converted, and she didn't convert. She had two geruses. She had one gerus to change her name from Agnes to Rus Hamayavia, and the second gerus from Rus Hamayavia to Rus. Aleph Gimel Nun Ayin Sach Saf. Okay, but he basically gave his parents. Your house should be like the house of parrots. Who was parrots? She yelled at Tamar Yehuda. Parrots was a twin. Parrots and Zarach. Parrots was.
He was the one that didn't.
The oldest son. No, that's the other group. Yehuda had two sets of children. He had Er, Onan, and Shelah.
Onan didn't want to be either.
Right, and then he had parrots and Zarach. She yelled at Tamar. Tamar was the daughter of Shem ben Noach, the Yehuda. Minazara, Asher Yitan Hashem Lachor, that from the offspring that Hashem gives you, Minanara Zeis. So they bless Boaz and Ruth, that the children or child that they have should be like the house of parrots. You should set up a house of parrots. Why parrots? Of all things, why parrots? Tamar and Yehuda had two children together, Peretz and Zarach. They were twins. It was very important to know who's the Bechor, who's the Petarechem, who's the first one to come out. And, the twins were rolling around inside of Tamar when it came time for her to give birth. So Zarach stuck his hand out of the womb, and the midwife tied a ribbon around his arm so that they'd know which one came out first. It wouldn't get them mixed up. A hospital bracelet. But she gave him a purple one. So he'd know, because purple was first.
Purple's royalty.
Zarach stuck his hand out first. And then Peretz sort of gets past Zarach and he pops out first. And that's why they gave him the name Peretz, because Peretz means to break through.
A
right?
Breach.
Yeah, no guttural Peretz kosher. Gidro. Parrots means to break through. So they called parrots parrots, and they called Zarach Zarach. Parrots means to break through, Zarach means to shine. Chazal tell us that there are two dynasties that came from Yehuda's two children, parrots and Zarach. One was the dynasty of Melucha, and the other is the dynasty of prophecy. Chizkiyo HaMelech was a descendant of parrots. Yeshaya HaNavi was a descendant of Zarach. So you can understand why. So Ramosha David Vali says that
one is Melucha, one is Nevuah.
That's why they gave Boaz and Ruth a bracha that the child that comes from her should have a house, should set up a house like the house of parents, because they're basically giving a bracha that it should be the house of Melucha.
The house of Nevuah came out from Zarek?
Yes. Because that's Zarek means Richas HaShemesh, that's to enlighten. And that's what Nevi'im do. Nevi'im enlighten us. They fill the world with prophecy. They fill the world with the word of God. They shine. And there's other symbolisms. You know, a melech, he's powerful. He could break through everything. There's nothing that stands in his way. But he follows the directives of the Navi. Before a king goes to war, he goes to the Navi. And that's what's signified by Zerach. Peretz might have popped out first, but he popped out after Zerach put his hand out. You hear the symbolism? You know, the Melech breaks through all the barriers after the Navi sticks his hand and points. Zerach sticking his hand out was like he's indicating, he's directing Peretz to go out.
Who's considered the Bechor?
Peretz, yeah, no, Peretz. The hand going out does not make someone a Bechor. Mm-hmm. You need the head. The head. Yes. Peretz came out, he's the Bechor. But only after Zerach pointed the way. And they're giving her a bracha that her house should be the house of Peretz. The Ramesh David Vali talks about Gilgulim. Yeah. We're talking about Gilgulim.
Who is the Gilgul of who?
Right, so we're going to have a few of these things here. But Nachlein was a Gilgul of parrots. The neshama of parrots had a very strong kesher to Nachlein. Machlin's job in this world was to complete that which parrots started, and Machlin didn't do that. Parrots were supposed to accomplish something.
How old was he when he died? Didn't he
die? I don't know. Well, Rus was 40, so I don't know how old Machlin was. But Machlin didn't do it. Rus, Machlin's neshama still has a connection to Rus, and Boyers is a cousin of Machlin. Between Bayez and Machlin, they'd give birth to a child that he'd be able to finish the job that Machlin didn't do. So if the child is going to complete the job that Machlin didn't do, and Machlin's job was the job of parrots, so literally this child is base parrots. That's the Ramesh David Vali.
Well, he's not a base parrot.
Yes. There's a commentary from a sefer called Gishmei Bracha, Rains of Blessing. Gishmei Bracha. That they gave Boaz and Ruth a bracha, their house should be like the house of parrots. Because there was a specter of impropriety. There was potential for people saying that there's something improper about this union between Boaz and Ruth. You know, she happened to be in his field, and he showed her special attention, and then all of a sudden, you know, they get married. There was potential for that. The bracha that they should be like base parrots was a bracha to counteract this. Everyone knew that parrots' birth was min hashamayim. It was miraculous. Everyone knew that. I mean, those that know the details of the events that brought about to the birth of parrots, Moses was miraculous. The Yehuda was going, he was tending a sheep, and Tamar was standing there, and they had relations, and Tamar was about to be put to death. And before they put her to the stake, they said, "You have one last chance to confess." And she says, "I have something to say. It's the one I'm pregnant from is the one that has this staff and this signet ring and this cloak." And the judge that was put into death turned out to be the one, and they got married, and they had parents. It was Yad Hashem. It was Min HaShemayim. So the bracha that they were giving her, that her house should be like the base of parents, besides the bracha, it was also that they were acknowledging that just like parents' birth was Min HaShemayim, it was orchestrated by divine providence, Hashgach HaPratis. So too, the union of Rus and Boaz, every single step, every single facet was Min HaShemayim. Rav Moshe David Vali says you actually see a remez in the pasuk. It's the same theme. Asher yolda Tamar Yehuda. It's four words. Asher yolda Tamar Yehuda. Those four words, they start with four letters. Aleph, Yud, Saf, Lamed. Asher yolda Tamar Yehuda. The gematria of those four letters is 441, which is the same gematria as the word emes. This is not something that just happened.
441?
Yes. This is not Asher Yolda Tamar Lihuda. Aleph Yud Taf Lamed. 441. This is emes. This is emes being revealed. There's a stemful of emes.
A what?
Stempel.
What's that?
It's a stempel.
Stempel. About Yemach.
It's like a signet ring. It's a God signet ring.
Man.
It's like God's God's
a stamp.
Stempel. The end of the pasuk, it says, Mina Nara Hazos, from this Nara. Now we know that the word Nara usually means a girl that's the age of 12 years old. Between the age of 12 to 12 and a half, she's a Nara. Ruth was 40 years old. She might have been attractive. She might have been relatively youthful compared to Boaz, who was 80. But she was now Nara. So Moshe David Vali says she was a Nara. Hashem caused a nes that she reverted back to the stage of Nara. I mean, this is something which we are familiar with. It's happened with Sarah Imenu. It happened with Yecheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. It could be it happened with Esther. And it happened to Ruth. So she's called a Nara because it was a nes. And that nes took place right before her marriage, so that she should be capable of having a child.
But you still
could have child should be born to a young maiden.
She could have a kid at 40?
She could have. But, you know, the childbearing years are earlier. There are women that do have it. But the childbearing years are much earlier. There's more to it. It wasn't just a nes in order to enable to have a child. It's that the birth of a child should come from nes. It's a special child. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayikach Bayez as Rus, and he did Kedushin. Vayikach Bayez as Rus. Now you compare this. Meirev Rabbeisai. In Parak Aleph Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk says, Vayisu Lehem Nashim. And Machlon and Kilian got married to Rus and Orpah. And the word is Vayisu. Vayisu means they got married. In Parak Dalet Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Vayikach Bayez. Vayikach means he did Kedushin. The word Vayikach means Kedushin. So Boaz married her after her final Geirus. And the Pasuk uses the word Vayikach, which means Kedushin. As Ruth, Ratila, Elishan, she was his wife. Vayavoilel, he had relations with her. Vayitin Hashem, Lahirayan, Hashem granted her a pregnancy. Vatel, then she gave birth to a son. Wow. The Malbim said that the Torah points out that he did Kedushin because this was not the mitzvah of Yibum, this was the custom of Yibum. If it would have been the mitzvah of Yibum, there's no Kedushin necessary. The relations themselves is the Kedushin. There's no need for giving of a ring in front of two Edom. It's just...
Is it proper to do it?
Yivama Yavel. No, there's no point to it. But since this was not the mitzvah of Yibum, because Boaz was not her brother-in-law, Boaz was her cousin, so this is the custom of Yibum, therefore it was required to do Kedushin. So that's why the Torah points it out to us. You'll notice in the Pasuk, it says, Vayitan Hashem lo heroyan, and Hashem gave her a pregnancy. That's a very interesting way to say that someone had a child. Hashem gave her a pregnancy. She became pregnant. What does it mean, Hashem...
It's unusual that she gets a child from the first time they come together.
That's only with the Nisha's a Basula. She was not a Basula. The Yalkut Shemayni, the Medrash, Yalkut Shemayni says that Boaz died on this night. So if Boaz died that night, then when the child was born, the child was not born to a father. Even when she became pregnant. He wasn't around when she was pregnant.
Who says this?
The Yalkut Shemayni.
Is the answer?
So that's why it doesn't mention Boaz at all in the Pasuk. It says she got pregnant, she gave birth to a child, and it doesn't mean, you know, in the Torah, when someone gives birth to a child, they do attribute it to their father. Tehilat Lei Ben. Vayelid, you know, even though the mother biologically gives birth to the child, but the Torah does give the, you know, ascribe the birth to the father.
And you see that Rabbi had a boy. You don't think he gave birth to
right.
The
right. Here,
you say
yeah. Rabbi had a boy. You mean your wife had a boy? They always do that.
Yeah.
You say, Rabbi, my wife had a boy. You also had one. Whatever you say, you're wrong with the rabbis. You know, this is, you know, this is the Yalkut. The Yalkut, you see in the pasuk. The Nachal Eshkol tells us an interesting gematria.
Nachal
Eshkol.
That's the name of the sefer?
Yes.
Ramat Eshkol.
Nachon. The Medrash says the Bayez died 271 days before the child was born. The child was born 271 days later. 271 days is approximately 9 months. That's 271 days is 9 months. If Bayez died 271 days before the child was born, that meant he died the night he had relations. That's the way it works out. Okay, it works out. The gematria of the word Hereyon.
Of what word?
Hereyon. So Hashem gave her a Heresh Yud Vav Nun. Hashem gave her a Hereyon. Word means pregnant. Hereyon. Vayitun Hashem la Hereyon. Heresh Yud Vav Nun is 271. Hashem gave her 271 days, but Bayez didn't get those 271 days because he passed away right then.
What's Hereyon mean?
Pregnancy.
Do you know when Bayez was born?
80 years before.
I'm saying days.
Don't know.
Was it also a miracle that Boaz was able to, make her pregnant? Just
yeah, that
bedarf, so
oh, someone that's so old
like,
is a miracle, yes.
This guy's like,
someone so old is
a
miracle.
DNA of itself. The fact that a pregnancy is like 271 days, and the word that means pregnancy
is. So, yeah. There you go. The Gemara talks about this in Masechus Nida.
You mentioned that last week about the man, but I thought a man can have kids at 80.
He can have them, it doesn't mean that it's very likely.
I guess also you see because when when she was lying at his feet and you said that that shot and the skin got hard or whatever.
Right,
so
you see he was capable
of
producing a child. Nachan, very good.
What does it say in
Pasuk Gedalot?
Oh, that's where this.
Vatemarna Hanashim Alnami, and now the women are talking. So before the Bezdin was talking, now the women they get the chance to talk. El Nami, they said to Nami, Baruch Hashem. See that? Baruch Hashem. Asher lo hishpis lach gayel. That Hashem did not withhold from you a redeemer. Hayom today. Thank God. V'yikari shmai b'Yisrael. Let his name be proclaimed throughout Israel. You know, what are you telling this to Nami for? Bayez, Rus, what are you telling this to Nami for? The Ashik says, they're telling this to Nami because Nami lost both of her sons. And she had no children. And this child is born is going to continue the neshama of his son Nachlein. So this is a redemption for her own child. She won't be considered childless. I mean, it's very interesting, Mahalach, that her former daughter-in-law is going to marry her nephew, but they're going to have a child, and Nami won't be considered childless. She won't be considered ariri. So Shalahishpus Lachgayo is it turning to Nami that this is your continuity? She's not even related to this child.
Right, but also we said that Sono doesn't have grandchildren, or is not. It's not really like the name went on. It stops there.
Right, but she does. Even with this child, it's not a grandchild. It's not a grandchild. The most it is a great nephew to the child's father. Bayez was her nephew.
She's like a godmother.
Right, but this is the way you can look at it that way. But if you go a little bit higher, you lift yourself up a little bit higher, and look beyond the confines of our limited vision, our limited scope, you'll see that there's a whole new world out there. That this is a gula. The Alshuk says, you see in the pasuk, Ashalahis Bislach Gael Hayayim, that God did not withhold.
Which Gemara?
No, you can look. God did not withhold a redeemer from you today. Why did they use the word today? Why is it important to say the word today? I mean, don't you know it's today? They're talking. Today is today. It's today. You have to say it's today. So they also said that's because Bayez died that night. I mean, this is part of the part of the chesed, part of the thanks you have to give to Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the last day of his life, Boaz was able to bring a continuity to the soul of Machlay.
Yeah, but since she was born to him.
Yeah. The pasuk ends, V'yikarish may be Israel, his name will be proclaimed among Israel. There's a commentary by a sefer called the Pri Chaim. Baruch Hashem that this child was born after Ruth's final geirus. V'yikarish may be Israel, it could have been otherwise. This could have happened before Ruth's final stage of geirus, and then the child would have the same status as the mother. So that's also part of the gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it didn't happen when you were in Mayav. It didn't happen on the threshing floor. It happened by Ruth's final geirus after they were in the Sanhedrin, and Boaz did it with Kedushin in front of everyone, and Zikari Shema B'Yisrael. Remember, there was a machlokes, a paiskim between Boaz and Nami. Nami held that the Yibam should take place in the Gorim. And Boaz held the Yibam should take place in the Sanhedrin. If Nami would have been matzliach, if she would have been successful, then there would have been no geula, because the child would have been born with the remnant of Mayav on him. The chesed is a nes nigla. The Nami didn't get what she wanted. Because the final stage in Rus's geirus, when she changed her name from Rus HaMayaviyah to Rus, was after she left the Gaon. Pasuk Tezvav. Vayalach lemeshiv nefesh. The child should be a restorative to your soul. Ulechalkel sevaseich. And his birth should sustain you in your old age. Ki kalaseich, your daughter-in-law, asher hevaseich, which you love, yiladatu, will give birth to him. Asher hitayvalach, and she is better to you, Mishiva Bonner, from seven sons. So that's very interesting.
How did they know that she's going to have a son?
They knew. Well, she had the baby. She had the baby.
So they didn't announce any of this until...
Well, Taylor Bain is Pasuk Yud Gimel. She had the baby.
They didn't announce any of this for 9 months?
Right. This is after the baby was born. In one Pasuk, the Pasuk tells us about her becoming pregnant by his dying and her having a baby.
So Pasuk Yud Gimel is 9 months long.
It's a very long Pasuk.
Okay.
271 days long. Seven children.
Women don't stop talking.
What does it mean that she's going to restore your soul? This baby's going to restore your soul. The mom explains because she had a son named Machlon. Machlon died. He didn't finish what he had to do in this world. His soul is not at rest. And he has no continuity. Not only did Machlon not finish what he had to do, but he died before he had children. Through this child, the soul of Machlon will be able to get its final reward. Because the child, the actions of the child will help the soul of Machlon. The child will be a meshiv nefesh, a restorative of the soul. So the mom said, you see, in the words of the pasuk, that the women of that time, they understood that the soul of Machlon is going to come back. Meshiv nefesh means it's nefesh that comes back. That's the Malbim.
Malbim says that?
Yes. And Rus is better, the child, Rus is better than seven sons. Your daughter-in-law, your former daughter-in-law, is better than seven sons. What are the seven sons? The Ben Ish Chai said the seven sons. Alright, first we'll start with the Medrash. Seder. The Medrash says that the seven sons are... referring to the seven sons of Yishai. Yishai had seven sons. David was the youngest. David's the seventh. So this Rus, she's better than seven sons. Look what she, you know, Rus is equal to seven sons. She's even better than seven sons because she's going to bring you seven sons. Which seven sons? The sons of Yishai. Another pshat in the Medrash is that there's seven generations at the end of the Sefer.
Is the Ben Ishkai?
Also, no, there's the Medrash. The Ben Ishkai will get some more. There's seven generations that are going to be... We're going to go through seven generations in Pasuk Yud Ches, starting from Peretz, And it's referring to those seven generations, starting from Peretz, going back to Yehuda and his children.
Oh, Peretz, that's in...
Peretz.
That's in...
Peretz, that's in...
Friday night. Luchadodi.
Yes, Adi Dishben Parzi.
Ben Parzi.
From Yitzchak over here to go through seven generations?
Yeah, we're going to get there in a minute. So the Medrash says it's referring to the seven sons of Yishai, or seven generations, until we get to Dava.
Wait, Dava's supposed to...
We'll see, you'll count it. You get it? We'll get to the pasuk.
I thought it was supposed to be the 11th generation.
Yes, from Yehuda. We have a little, bit of a...
Yes,
wait,
yes,
just wait.
It won't work out. That won't
just wait. Okay, so just wait. Okay? Hold on. The Ben Yishai is a different seven... Machloin, Kilyain, Peretz, Zarach, Er, Onain, and Ovid.
Machloin,
Kilyain, Peretz, Zarach, Er, Onain, and Ovid. Seven.
Yeah.
Ovid is the son of Rus. I'm saying Ovid is the son
Ovid
of Rus.
Ovid of Rus.
Ayin Vav Vezda.
Yeah, that's how I spelled it.
And the Ben Yishai said, because when David was born, he had the job to complete all that those six others had left for him to complete. David was a Gilgal of Peretz, Zarach, Er and Onan. Those are four children of Yehuda. He was a Gilgal of Machlon and Kilyan. And that's why Ruth is better than seven sons, because Ruth, in one daughter-in-law, she was able to produce a child that was able to complete, was able to be Misakin the Neshamais of the previous generation.
So many things are being Misakin.
It's only one thing.
No, I'm
right.
Saying from Rus, like also Lot's daughter and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, that's all. It's Tikkun Olam. What?
Where's Shayla?
Shayla's not here. It doesn't. Shayla didn't die young. Machlon died.
Shayla, what a cutie pie.
This guy died young.
Well, Peretz and Zarach didn't die young, but those were the actual Malucha. Shayla doesn't. Shayla's a mystery. Peretz and Zarach were the founders of a dynasty. Aaron Einan, they died young because they. They failed. And Shayla's... It's a mystery.
Just a Shayla.
He's just...
Shayla Balmahu.
He's a mystery. Yehuda... Well, according to one shot, Yehuda did not marry Shayla off to Tamar because he didn't think that he was worthy to marry such a tzaddikus. All right, let's go to the next psukim. Vatikach Nami is a yelid.
What pasuk is this? Same pasuk?
Pasuk Tezayin. Pasuk
Tezayin. Are you still like...
Let's do Tezayin and Yudzayin together, okay?
Okay.
Vatikach Nami is a yelid. Nami took the child. It's not her child. It's not her grandchild. It's her great-nephew. But to Shiseya Becheka, she placed the child in her lap.
Oh, we have that.
Atila Menes, and she raised the child.
Does it mean raised her or raised her?
She nursed the child.
Nami or
Nami nursed the child. Now, Nami was a I don't know how old she was, but she was Bayez's aunt.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If Bayez was 80. Yeah, she was old.
Yeah, and she was what's it called?
I mean, it could be she was also 80. But she was Bayez's aunt.
Yeah.
She was
Machlon's mother. She must have been
Machlon's mother. So the Ben Yishai says that Nami also was rejuvenated, and she became young again.
Well, it makes sense. Looks like so.
And she actually nursed her great nephew.
Why couldn't Rus?
Yeah, why?
One second.
Why wasn't
it done? Hold on.
Why was it so important that the child should nurse?
The Ben Yishai explains.
Same reason why
Moshe didn't go from
Russ is Jewish.
No, she was just same as
Gioris. That when Nami nursed the child, so then that made an impact. It says, you know, when mommy nursed the child, so then the impression that's made is that this child is mommy's child. Mommy became young. It's a big miracle. Mommy's nursing the child. So people say, Hashem doesn't make nisim for nothing. If Hashem's making a nis to show us, to demonstrate to us, that this child appears like the child of Nami. This child is Nami's child. Then people understand that. The people of the time understood that. That this child is just as if he's Nami's child. Now, what's the important thing about that? Why is it important for Hashem to make a display that this child is Nami's child? Because there were those people, the Chas V'Shalom, they might have cast aspersion and doubt on the lineage of the child. Because he's the child of a Moabite woman. And perhaps his yichus is not as good. And there's a shadow hanging over his yichus. And maybe they won't give their daughters to him. They won't be able to allow to get married. Because look at the yichus of his. But there was a miracle, and the miracle, the effect of the miracle was to make it look like his mother was Nami. And no one had any doubts about Nami's yichus. Nami had the finest of yichus. She was also from Yehuda. Nami had the finest of yichus.
People saw her nurse the kid.
They saw her become young again, and they knew that she was nursing a child. Yes. The Ben Ish Chai said that that was a direct benefit of the nes, is that it looked like this child Oved was the child of Nami, and everyone saw that Hashem was giving them a sign that his yichus is just as good. The fact that he comes from Ruth does not take away from his yichus at all. His yichus is just as good. Hashem would not make a nes for someone that cannot marry into Klal Yisrael. If this baby was one that was not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, Hashem does not make miracles for children that are not allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. It's Halig.
Moses' child, man.
What?
What was this child's name?
Oved.
Oh, this was Oved?
This was Oved.
The seventh of the Shul.
Yes, the number seven. This is Oved. Pasuk Yudzayim v'tekrenu lo yashken Hashem. The neighbors called him. Who gave his name? Who gave Oved his name? The neighbors. Lami Yulad ben Nami. Nami gave birth to a child. You see it. You hear this ringing in your ears, right? The pasuk telling us Yulad ben Nami v'tekrenu shma Oved, and she called him Oved. Who are Yisha? He's the father of Yisha. Avi David, the father of David. This is David HaMelech's grandfather. The word Oved means some kind of occurrence. Oved is like an Uvda. If you say over an Uvda is a special happening, right?
Why is the name
so? Sometimes. I mean, the word Oved means for something to happen or something to do something. But in this case, the word Oved means a special occurrence, a phenomena, a nace. They called him Oved because he didn't just come along. There was something special. There was something happening. They called him happening. And Shalshalos Beis David came from here.
Shalshalos.
Chain, yes.
Yeah.
Shoshalas ben David?
The Shoshalas of Malchus ben David.
There's a
medrash which goes through the Hashkacha Pratis of the birth of Oved. It fills in some history in the birth of Oved.
Which medrash?
It's a Gemara. It's brought down in a commentary called Akedus Yitzchak. Boaz was married before.
Right, his wife died when they came in.
And yes, his wife died the day that Ruth, the very moment that Ruth and Naomi came in. At the time that his wife died, how many children did Boaz have?
20.
Zero.
Mm.
He was childless. He was wifeless and childless. He had 60 children, 30 sons and 30 daughters. They all died. They all died after the marriage. He married off 60 children. He made 60 suddas. He invited everyone to his suddas. He was an important man. He's a dignitary. He was a chashev yid. There was a Jew at the time by the name of Manayach. Manayach did not get an invitation to the chasnas. Manayach was...
Kamsa bar Kamsa.
Manayach was considered someone on the outer fringe. Manayach and his wife were childless. He didn't invite them. Manayach and his wife were childless. This was a mistake. Who's the Gemara?
What do you mean on the fringe?
Mayer Cotton. That means that since they weren't, they weren't... Yes.
He meant good because he didn't want to make them feel bad.
I don't know. The Gemara says that it was from Gaiva. The Gemara says that it was Gaiva. When you say something, I mean, of course, it's Gaiva in a very, very minuscule, almost undetectable amount. It's Gaiva. 164. Shminis Shabishminis. But the Maisi didn't invite him. And they had Tsar. Manayach and his wife had Tsar. Because they didn't have children. And Boaz had 60 children. And they weren't invited to any of the weddings. And they all died. The Gemara compares this to Panina and Chana. There's a man by the name of Akana. Akana had two wives, Chana and Panina. Panina had children, Chana didn't have children. And Panina caused Chana pain. But she did it L'Shem Shemayim.
Because
she wanted to daven. And it did work.
Who caused two pain?
Panina.
All
Panina's children died. And Chana had a child. Shmuel and Manayach also had a child. Chana had a child. Shmuel, Chana was the one that Panina made fun of. That was caused a tsar. And Manayach also had a child. Because after Boaz called him Tsar, that child was, does anyone know who the child of Manayach was? His name was Shimshon.
Shimshon
Agibor was born from Manayach. After suffering the Tsar inflicted on him by Boaz. And Shmuel Anavi was born from Chana after the Tsar that was inflicted on him by Penina. But Penina, it came at a cost because Penina lost all her children and Boaz lost all your children. You don't inflict tsar even if you have good intentions. Boaz did tshuva in his old age. Hashem said, you did tshuva in his own age. In his old age, he's going to have a child. That child is Oved. Oved is the child that's born from Boaz's tshuva. Now we can understand why Oved is the grandfather of David, who's the grandfather of Mashiach. Mashiach is born from
tshuva.
Because Mashiach's role is to take the entire world and bring it back to tshuva.
Tshuva means return.
Tshuva is to return. The birth of Boaz is born from tshuva. I'm not Boaz. Ovid is born from Boaz's tshuva. And Ruth also did tshuva. Ruth did tshuva. Boaz did tshuva. Ovid was born from tshuva. We'll read the next three psukim
together.
The Eila told us parrots. Parrots, these are the offspring of parrots. Parrots are leaders chetzorin, the chetzorin are leaders ram, the ram are leaders aminadav. The aminadav are leaders nachshem, and nachshem are leaders salma.
Which psukim are these?
Yirches, yites, chaf, and chafal.
No.
The salma are leaders bayas.
Why are these names so quick?
The bayas are leaders oived. The oived are leaders yishev, yishev are leaders david.
Why did the names change?
These are the generations from Peretz until David and Melch. This is Sefer Ruth closes on this note. The Davidic dynasty.
Why does it change the names?
There's a reason.
What do you mean change the names?
Like it's
Salma to Salmon.
It's also Boaz to Boaz.
Yeah.
And Obed with the Vav.
Right. Yeah.
So sketchy.
The Akedah Yitzchak goes through all the names. Parrots. The word parrots is the sum of that bursts forth. He breaks through. Parrots is the child that broke through. He came out of his mother Tamar before his brother Zarach, and he's roy to be the ancestor of Mashiach, because Mashiach is going to have to break through. He's going to have to break through the existing order of this world and break down the existing social order and bring about a revolution.
So break down the field of...
Chetzroin. The Akedah Yitzchak says the word Chetzroin. Chetzroin means Chatzroni. Chatzroni means respectful, honor. It's a name of honor, it's a name of respect. And Chetzron, the son of Peretz, was a man of great kavod. He earned kavod. He was a respectable person, and he has the kavod of Malchus. I mean, he was possessed of majestic qualities. Ram is the grandson of Peretz. Ram means uplifted, elevated. Ram al kogayim Hashem, gadol Hashem itin aram shmayachtov. He had an elevated status in chokma and midas tovus. Chokma midas tovus. Ram. Avraham's name was Av. Ram, before the end of the hand. Right, because he had midah chesed. His midah was chesed, so he's... Someone that's about chesed is above, you know, let's say you have what, money. And there's poor people that they don't have money. So you are above them, and you are coming down to them to have them benefit from your elevated status.
So he had elevated chesed and what else?
He said, chachma, wisdom, and midah times. He was known to be above and beyond. Aminadav is like Minadiv Yamai, that's a benefactor. A Nadiv.
Also porters.
A Nadiv. Vashivi im Nadivim, im Nadivi Yamai, im Nadivi Yamai, Vashivi Akarasabai is Emabanus Mecha Aluyah. That pasuk is talking about Emabanam is Rus. That pasuk. Vashivi im Nadivim, im Nadivi Yamai, Emabanus Mecha Aluyah. That Ema Bonham is the mother of the Bonham. That's Ruth. He was a benefactor, an unselfish person, someone that gives of himself to other. Nachshon.
Oh, Ben Aminadav.
Nachshon Ben Aminadav. Nachshon means a snake. Nachshon's a snake. Nachash. There's two kinds of snakes. There's a snake which is evil, which we don't like. And then there's Leviathan. Leviathan is a serpent that a Kadosh Baruch Hu made in Sheshes Mebreishis. And the power of the Leviathan is beyond measure. It's powerful. And Nachshon's power, he was, what? No, the Shamir is a small little creature which some say is like a worm. The Leviathan is not a worm. It's a serpent.
Yeah,
and the psukim say that the psukim describe the Leviathan, that there's no power that could affect it. You can't affect it. It's impervious to any outside interference.
Oh, it's also not indicative of Yitzhara.
No, the Leviathan, the kayak of Nachshon in Chachma in Das was powerful. There was no match. There was no way of taking him down. You can, you know, he was so powerful, he was so strong in Chacham and Das, his mind, his ability to he's a godless in Torah. Salma. Salma is a Lashon of Shlemus. Tzadik Shalem. Shlemus, he was a complete tzadik. Chazal say that he did something that no one did before him. In the times of the king Rechavam, there was a king Rechavam. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo HaMelech.
Rechavam ben Yoav.
There was another kingdom that was formed in the days of Rechavim, the kingdom of the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes seceded from Malchus Beis David, and they made a competing kingdom headed by Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat blocked the Jews of the 10 kingdom from coming to the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash was in the area controlled by Rechavam. And he placed two idols, two calves, one in Dan, one in Beersheba. And the Jews worshipped there. Rather than come to the Beis HaMikdash, the Jews worshipped there. And those agolim, those calves, were there for generations. And they were a source of great anger to HaKadosh Baruch Hu until the time of Salma. Salma destroyed them.
Before, though.
Salma destroyed them. Salma's a tzaddik. Salma was mevatel them. He was mevatel the agolim, the calves, that the rock. What? You want to? You wait a moment. He was mevatel the calves
that who put
that Yeravam placed on the road in Dan and Beersheba.
Yeravam or Rechavam?
No, Yeravam did it. Yeravam broke away from Rechavam. His name was Salma. Shalem, Shlemus. Ovid. Sorry, did I skip something?
Boaz.
Boaz means, obviously,
Boaz comes in.
Oz, right. He has the power.
What's Boaz?
Oz is power. Awesome power. Boaz, Oz. Boaz is a tzaddik. In the schus of Boaz, Klal Yisrael was safe from all their enemies. The enemies of the Jews were not able to overcome them militarily. I'm talking about they were constantly besieged by their enemy, and it was the schus of Boaz that the enemies were not able to overcome them. Boaz, the power of Boaz. It was in the schus of Boaz that the famine ended. The famine that was in the time of Elimelech, and Elimelech left Eretz Yisrael. It was the schus of Boaz that famine ended.
That was the last thing
they
did. It
was
over a month.
Boaz gave birth to Ovid. Ovid is Ovid Hashem. He served God with a complete heart, with a lev shalem. Ovid is Ovid Hashem. He served God with a complete heart. Yishai. Yishai. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos talks about Yishai. Nunhei on the base.
Nunhei
on the base. Yishai also means snake. Nachash, Yishai. Yishai also means snake. There's Nachshai and there's Yishai. Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't find any imperfection in Yishai. There was no hashchasa. There was no.
Him to be written forward and backward.
Right. It's yesh yesh.
Yes.
Yesh yesh. Yud shin yud shin yesh yesh. Yasus alayach alakayach. Yesh yesh.
Whichever way you look at it, though, it's still written.
It's also
name.
Hashem's name with the three avos in the three.
He was complete, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not give him over to the Malach HaMavis. The Malach HaMavis couldn't kill him, and he lived a very long time. Yishai lived a very long time. But every human being that was created on this earth has in him an imperfection, even though he personally might not have done an Avera. But there's something imperfect within each and every one of us. Because we're born from Adam Arishon, and Adam Arishon did a chet, and Adam Arishon made himself imperfect, and Yishai had that imperfection. Even though he didn't do a chet,
he never sinned.
Never sinned, but he had the urge to do a chet, and every single time he had to fight the urge not to do the chet. And he never did it. But the urge to do a chet is an imperfection. And Hashem does a chesed with someone. That also has to be cleansed. In order for him to live forever, v'tchias amesim, it's not enough that he does everything that he has to do. It's not enough he stays away from the things that he doesn't, that we're not supposed to do. The urge to do the chet also has to be removed. And he died. He died in order to have the tikkun. For the neshama to have the tikkun, the final tikkun, to remove even the imperfection. And that's called that he died by the bite of the nachash. And he died. And he gave birth.
He died from a snake bite?
That's why Chazal referred to it. Then in reality, he should live forever.
But there's no...
In reality, his death is not the same as anybody else's death. He's one of the people that didn't die the same way that everyone else died.
His imperfection was not having an imperfection.
His imperfection was that
his
he still had in him the urge to do a chet, even though he never did a chet. That's called the snake bite. That's a snake bite. And he's the one that gave birth to David HaMelech. And David HaMelech Yisrael, Chayim. So you see, the two things. Well, David HaMelech was born from two things. He's born from tshuva. His very birth is from tshuva.
David.
And it's the greatest form of tshuva. It's from the biggest source of tumah that the world has ever seen. There was never a greater tumah than Mayav. You can't. They're Gentiles, and among the Gentiles, they're the greatest source of immorality. Even on his Jewish side, every single step that brought David HaMelech had something about it that was improper. The Boyers and Ruth, they brought about David HaMelech. David HaMelech also carries in him the tikkun of the chet of the Nachash, the tikkun of the chet of Adam HaRishon, the sight of living forever. David HaMelech, his father was someone that should live forever. Then in a sense, his father does live forever. David HaMelech saw Chai V'Kayim. This is the thing that brought about the birth of David. David is the next. David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. David Melch doesn't die. Shri Zaycha to the Guru Shlema B'mehera B'yameinu B'mashiach Tukenu. We need it so desperately. Mashiach should be the one that he should be wise enough, he should be powerful enough, he should be full of life to show us how to live our life, that we should live our life, and we should be zeichah to live our life as a shining example of Kiddush Yom Shamayim.